Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
In the burden of life, I pray that we can take the next few moments to just soak in your word, to be encouraged by your truth, God, and to walk in union with you. I pray that you will move like a mighty wind. I pray that we'll experience you and take a step closer to you today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Is everybody doing okay this morning? All right. It is July 7th. We got a holiday week. I hope everybody had a restful holiday week to be with us today. It's a pretty cool Sunday because we have now almost finished the first half of the year, which is crazy to think about. The older we get, it's like it flies by, right? But it's the first half of the year, and I'm gonna take the few moments, and I want to celebrate what God has done this first half of the year, and then we're gonna jump in. We're in the last week of our series, and we've been studying through the book of Philippians, and so we're in week 6. We're going to start a brand new series next week, but we're going to finish that. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. If you don't, we're going to have it on the screens for you as well as I read. But you guys know, if you don't know, maybe it's your first time, but we are what's called a church plant. And so we started about a year and a half ago this Sunday. God has just been speaking and blessing us in incredible ways. And one of those things that I want to celebrate today that sometimes is not celebrated a lot in church. But I want to take a moment to celebrate, because as a church plant, that means we're almost like a newborn church. And you know how a newborn is just learning how to walk, and they got to have stable and a lot of support. And so before starting this church, that was one of the big roles for me, is to find support for this church and just to believe in the vision of what God is doing. And then as our church grows, it becomes more self-sustaining. And so that's been our prayer and our goal, is God, help us to get to that point of to be self-sustaining. And I just want to encourage you, because can I be transparent with everybody today? Yeah, is that good? Like, can we be? This is a family right here. And I want you to know that we are a family, and this is a community. And I love being a little transparent. And there are days where I come in and I say, God, okay, I know you've called us to this, but are we going to be able to uphold this financially? We're going to be able to uphold this and make it through. Because some days are hard, right? I mean, it's just like you and your family. You would come in and say, okay, God, like, what's going on here? What's happening? And as we hit about November to December and a little bit of January of this past year, it was one of those moments where I said, okay, God, you're calling us to this. And because part of our mentorship, a lot of people invested in us and said, hey, you're going to have a monthly budget, but you're also going to have a two-month reservoir that you want to be able to, because the ebb and flow of life and church world is kind of like this a little bit in the budget world. And so you want to have a two-month reservoir. And so we launched and started with that goal in mind. But as those months trickled on, we kind of had to slowly dip into that a little bit. And so just seeking God and praying God and believing that He is faithful and He's going to be there for us. And I don't sugarcoat this at all. When 2019 hit, I felt like there was a shift inside of our church. It was almost like God was like, okay, you've been here a year. I see you're pursuing me. I see your people are growing. I see you're doing this. And it's like He began to allow the seeds that we have been planted to start to water. And I could feel it amongst our family. I don't know if you've been here with us longer than a year, but there was a little bit of a shift hit when we got to January. It was like God was breathing something into our church. And I got to tell you, January, I could see that your faithful generosity began to grow. And then February, and then Easter hit. And can I just tell you, the last 3 months, it has slowly grown to where we are exactly on budget. In the month of June, we were above budget in giving. Isn't that incredible? Like, can you guys give it up just for our church, for you believing in it? We still have outside sponsors. Now, I just want to share this because this is powerful. In the month of June, I told you we had to dip into that reservoir a little bit as we go. And so we were meeting where we needed to be. But I really wanted to build that reservoir up. I wanted to be faithful with what God has given us. And so one of the first or second week in June, I get a call from a close friend of mine. And he says, "Hey, Daniel, I really just had this great business deal. He's in real estate." And he said, "Hey, I want to bless your church. I love what God is doing. He's been here. He's visited before. He's like, I love the people. When I walked in, I felt like family." And he said, "I just want to bless your church." And he wrote us a very nice check. And you know how much that check was? Exactly the amount we needed to make up that ground in the reservoir. And that is just an incredible, powerful thing to see, that God is like, "Hey, Daniel, I'm here with you in this. I'm walking in this. I love what God is doing, and I love that we are a family in that." So I want to take the first few moments and just celebrate that. Can we celebrate that God is with us in this? And that we love what he is doing and how he's preparing your hearts to be that generosity and to be those faithful givers. But I also want to celebrate because just in 2019, the first 6 months of this year, we have seen 12 people come to know Christ. 12 people come to know Christ. Isn't that incredible? That is amazing. I hope that we wake up every Sunday and we're like, "Ooh, today could be the day where somebody else's eternity is changed forever." And to me, that just blows my mind. To know that you guys are praying. We have our reach wall out there with chalk names written on there. And some of those names are moving too, because you write your name on the permanent bridge there with the permanent marker. And those names are moving down there. And that is incredible. And so thank you for your prayers. Thank you for inviting. Thank you for being willing to pray with people, pray over people. And the gospel is being shared. Another quick thing that I want to celebrate is in 2019, the first 6 months, we have 12 people become members. We call them partners here at the Bridge Church. Isn't that awesome? Like 12 people saying, "Hey, this is my family. I'm moving from not just, hey, I'm attending, but now I'm ready to be a partner. I'm all in, so to speak." I love that mentality, and I love what God is doing over these first few months. And so this is the first year and a half, but I can't wait for the next. I can't wait for what God is doing in this fall. He's already opening up doorways for us. We're going to be partnering with some of our local schools with back-to-school outreach. Some of these kids go home and they don't have food outside of school, and so we're going to be helping bringing them snacks and backpacks and school supplies, all these different things that I cannot wait that we get to bless people in our community, because that's our heart, is we want to add value where we are. And so I just wanted to just stop there for a moment, because I believe it's so important to just give thanks to God and saying thank you for walking with us in this, that we can plant seeds, but God is the one that brings the water. He is the one that prepares hearts and softens our hearts for all of this to happen. And so it's just an incredible view to see what God is doing. And so thank you for taking this journey with us. Thank you for believing in what God is doing. And I cannot wait until this next season as we continue to grow in community, continue to grow and see what God is going to do. And so we're going to shift gears a little bit here. And we're in Philippians chapter 4. And I want us to think, because Paul ends this letter in a powerful way. And we have, if you want to catch up on some of the older messages, we have those online too. But in Philippians chapter 4, Paul begins to transition. And he's talking to the church of Philippi. And he's saying, "Hey, I know that we have talked about all these different things, but as we conclude, as we close, I want to help you to sustain your ministry there that you're doing inside the church. Sustain your ministry in the church of Philippi." Because the Philippian people, they were starting to get weighed down. I don't know about you, but sometimes life can start to get heavy, right? And things can come before us. And when things get heavy or things get hard, it can add worry to our lives and into our hearts. And in our day and age, and they call it the information age, right? We can get online and we can see what anybody is doing anywhere in the world almost. As you can go on there and look and follow them on Instagram or Facebook or the news, right? Every time something little happens, right, you get ba-da-ding. You get the little Fox News or whatever, CNN, whatever you're following there will pop up and you'll see it there. And it's like all of a sudden you're inundated with all this information. And then sometimes you can see the information that is not good. Or you know something has happened inside of your life where maybe a trial you're going through. And you look back and go, "God, what is happening right now? How do we make it to the next step?" And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I worry, it can add stress to my life where my mind, my mental capacity is just going over and over, and I'm thinking about it and I'm stressing about it. I'm staying up at night and all these different things. And then I have the mentality where it's like, "Hey, God, I'm going to fix this," right? Like, I'm going to go. Like, if we just dig in, if we just work hard, we can make this happen. And God has a plan and a purpose for our life where he's saying, "Hey, I don't want you to sit in that worry. I don't want you to sit in that trial, and I don't want that to grow and to fester inside of your mind and inside of your heart. And so we're going to look here in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read most of the chapter, but not all of it. Is that okay? Very good. If you guys still with me, say amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start here in verse 1. It's going to be on the screens for you as well. It says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for." Isn't that awesome? He's talking to the church. He's saying, "Hey, I love and long for my joy and my crown. Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." And then he says in verse 2, "I entreat," I'm not even going to pronounce, try to go to the name there, okay? "And entreat," and I'm not going to go again. Y'all see that? E-N-S. "Entreat E-N-S to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul starts off and he says, hey, they're inside of the church. There are these ladies who have labored together. He's saying, "I long to be with you. I long for you to work together." And he is saying, hey, there must have been some kind of disagreement that was happening that Paul caught wind of. And he's saying, hey, I want you to work in harmony. And he's actually calling the whole church. He's saying, hey, I want you to everybody to rally behind them and help them figure this out. Help them to walk together in unity and harmony together because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's saying, hey, they are a child of God. That is your sister in Christ. That is your brother in Christ. As we work together to co-labor, to live in harmony. And then he goes on to say, and he says, hey, I want you to rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And I love that word reasonableness because we don't use it a lot in 2019. But that same word means having compassion, having a desire to create this unity. And he is saying, hey, we want to have that mind. We want to have that heart inside of our lives and to take in the consideration of others who are around us in that moment. Take in other people's, be considerate in how they live. Be considerate in how they live in this day and world. And I think about that. And sometimes being considerate is kind of hard. I don't know if you've realized that, right? But sometimes you step back and go, okay, for me to be considerate for somebody else, that means I have to put almost their needs before my own. I have to think about their mindset, their heart above my own. And sometimes that is hard. Can we be real with each other here today, right? And say, hey, that sometimes that is hard when I'm at work and they're saying that about me, or I'm on the highway and they give me the number one signal, right? Like, that is so hard to do that from time to time. But Paul is saying, hey, if you want to live in harmony, you got to be reasonable with each other. You have to be considerate of each other. You have to walk into church and go, how can I be considerate of those around me? How can I sit down and go, how can I serve you? How can we walk together in this? Because in our day and age, it is a very almost dog-eat-dog kind of world. It is, hey, what is the next level that I can get to? And consideration sometimes takes a back seat because hey, how can I get an edge on my competition? How can I get an edge on who is next to me? And it happens even in the church world. How can I do this better than the other church? How can I do this in my community? How can I learn more? Whatever it may look like. And God is saying, hey, I want you to be considerate. I want you to think about the ways that other people are thinking and how they're living their life, because when you do, you will experience this harmony, this unity that you're living with each other and walking together in this. And the Apostle Paul continues and he says, hey, we do this, and the way you're able to do this, because the Lord is at hand. He says the Lord is at hand, because there are moments and seasons in life where I think we can forget that God is present with us. That once we become a believer in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. That is the living God living inside of us. And so everywhere I go as a believer, God is with me. God is near. And sometimes in trials, and if you've been a Christian longer than probably like 6 months, You know this, right? That when you become a Christian, it's not all roses and skipping through the fields, right? That there are trials and tribulations that come. There are heartaches on this side of heaven because of sin and a broken world and free will and all of that. That there are trials that we walk through. And there is a promise that God gives us. Not that, hey, you're going to have everything that you want. But he's saying, my promise is that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near, that his promise is that he is with you. And there's this story in the Old Testament that I love. It's one of my favorite stories. And there's these three guys who were taken into captivity. They got some crazy names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love these guys because they walk up and they are taken into captivity. And what would happen when they were taken into captivity is they would have to take on the entire culture that they were moved into, this Babylonian culture, and they had to move all and learn everything that they were doing. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he liked himself, right? And he said, hey, I want everybody to praise and worship me. So every time the music plays, everybody better hit the ground and bow down and worship me, King Nebuchadnezzar. And sometimes king would elevate themselves to the position that they were a god. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, wait a second, no. We serve the one and only God. We are not going to do that. And so then King Nebuchadnezzar takes it up a notch. He says, if you do not do this, I'm going to throw you into this large furnace that is hundreds and hundreds of degrees, that I'm going to throw you in this to your death if you do not do this. And so they go back and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not going to go real deep into this, but I love their response. It's one of my favorite few responses that is in the Bible in the Old Testament. And this is so powerful. They are standing there, they call it the lair and the chimes and all the trumpets, they go off. Everybody is bowing down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are just standing. No, that's not us. We can't do that. God's not called us to worship other gods. And then they come to question them and say, hey, we're gonna throw you to your deaths if you do not bow down and worship. And this is their response. It's so powerful. It says this, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able, come on, to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They stand and say, hey, we're not going to do that. Our God, the one true God, he is fully able. He is capable of delivering us. But this is where, to me, it just shows how much they trust God. They said, even if he doesn't. Even if God doesn't bring deliverance in this trial, I will still serve him. And you know what happens? They were thrown into the blazing furnace. They were thrown. They said the furnace was so hot that the soldiers died as they were throwing them in. That it was so hot, they got so close. But you know what? King Nebuchadnezzar, he starts looking in that furnace and he goes, wait a second. Didn't we throw three guys into that? Didn't we throw three people in there? I see a fourth. And he looks like the son of a god. And we see this picture that Jesus, most scholars believe that Jesus himself was walking in that. Some translations say angel. Most people believe that Jesus was walking with them in that moment, walking with them in that fire. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced something. They were in the middle of the fire, in the middle of their trial, but God didn't take them out of the fire. God said, no, I'm going to get in it with you. That I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to sustain you. My promise is not to keep you from every fire, every trial. My promise is that we're going to walk in it together. I'm going to hold your hand, and in fact, I'm going to help you, your faith grow in this and because of this. And you got to remember that God is going to work all things out for his glory and his purpose. And he's saying, when you get on the other side of this, you're going to realize and you're going to see how I took these ashes and turned them into beauty, how I took this fire and refined you, how I took this fire and brought you closer together. And he's saying, in those moments of trials, my promise is that I am with you, that God is near, God is at hand. And I don't know about you, one of the imagery that I love about this, it says when they got out of the fire, they didn't smell like smoke. In fact, they were tied down, and when they came out, the ropes were singed off, but they didn't even smell like smoke. Have anybody been to a campfire? I mean, you smell like smoke for like 5 days, right? They came out, didn't even smell like smoke. The hinge and everything, the bondage was breaking out. And so they went into the fire. I can't imagine their mindset of going, okay, God, we prayed to you and we're still going into the fire. But then they come out of the fire completely released. And God is saying, hey, when you come through the fire, there are things in your life I will release you from because you were holding on to them and they were actually keeping you in bondage, but this trial helped you come out stronger on the other side. I don't know if anybody in here has been through something and now that you look back, you're going, oh, God grew me so much because of that trial. God made me stronger because of that trial. I am closer to Him because in that trial and in that fire, I experienced Jesus like I have never had before. And I believe that God is looking for people who have the mentality and heart like Jesus, who's standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He is toiling over what He's about to go through for all of humanity, for all of humankind. And He starts sweating blood because of everything He is going through, the stress that is about to come for Him to His body. And He's saying, God, will You take this cup from me? Is there any other way? And God begins to speak to Jesus, and Jesus turns and He says, Your will be done. And I believe that when we walk through life and going, God, Your will be done. If that means I have to walk through a trial, but in that trial, I get You, Jesus. I get to experience You, and I get to walk out the other side closer to You. Jesus says, hey, I want you to walk in obedience to me and trust me in the process. Trust me in the trial. And the Apostle Paul knows this because he's writing this letter from prison. And he's saying, in this prison cell, I still am free in Christ. And I know Jesus. And I'm relying on my brothers and sisters in Christ because they're bringing me support and they're connecting with me. And I'm sending these letters out. And I think about the Apostle Paul and I wonder if he was able to bounce from church to church and not in prison. I wonder if God was saying, hey, while you're in prison, you're going to write all of these letters that are going to become scripture. And because you're sitting in a cell and you have to sit there and you have to write, and that's the only way you can get this out. In fact, I'm going to use your trial and I'm going to make it become the living Bible that we are still reading in 2019. And God is saying, hey, I can make it. And He is the one that takes our trial and turns it into triumph. And it is so powerful in that, in an incredible way. And I told you this stuff is good, right? It's good. I love it. Y'all get me excited. And Paul continues here as he teaches, and he says, hey, the Lord is near. And then he goes on to say, hey, do not be anxious about anything. Right? I look at Paul and go, okay, Paul, really? Like anything? Like anxious? Like that's kind of a big ask, right? Like little things can happen inside of my life and add worry. And add that. And Paul is saying, hey, I want you to live a life that is released from that anxiety and worry and fear and doubt. And then he goes on to continue to say, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And God is saying, every time you feel that anxiousness begin to weigh on you, where life feels so heavy and worry is making your heart race and making your mind go off into all different kind of tangents and fear starts to creep in, God is saying, hey, I want you to make those requests. What is making you worry right now, make that request and release it to God right there in that moment. Say, God, this is causing me worry. This is causing me anxiety. God, I'm giving this to you right now as we pray to God. And it may look like, God, my kid just said this to me and I need to give this to you right now. God, I'm in the hospital right now with my parents and I'm giving this to you, God. I'm giving this situation. I'm giving this struggle. God, I don't know if we're going to pay the bills this week, but I'm giving this to you. And I believe that God is waiting for some of us just to get real with Him, to say, what's on your heart? What's really on your heart? What's really on your mind? What is going on? What is causing that worry, that fear? And God is saying, give it to me. I went to the cross so that you didn't have to carry that burden. I went to the cross to set you free from that. Bring it to me. And it may look back, stepping back, even saying it out loud, God, I give you this situation that's going on in my life. God, I give you my job right now. God, I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I give you my plans. God, I don't know what school I should go to. God, I don't know what job I should take. God, I'm giving that to you because it's causing me to worry and it's starting to make me think crazy things and act crazy ways. And God, I just need to give that to you and I don't need to weigh that down. I trust you in this. And then Paul, he adds like a little anecdote on there. He says, release that to God in thankfulness. And when I'm worried, the last thing I'm usually thinking about is thankfulness, right? Like, God, take this from me now. Like, this is heavy. I can't do this anymore. But God is saying, hey, you want to experience true peace? Give that burden to me and then be thankful for where you are and what God has already done inside of your life. Find those ways. I remember going to visit my mom. She just went through some health things and she was sitting in the hospital and I went and visited her one morning and she said, you know, we woke up this morning and just decided we're going to start counting our blessings. And so we literally said, okay, this is one, this is a blessing. Two, this is a blessing. Three, we talked to that nurse a few minutes ago about Jesus. That's three, that's another blessing. And it just kind of hit me and I was like, wow, okay. Like there's something that shifts inside of our mind, shifts inside of our heart to say, God, I am thankful for what is going on in my life. And although I'm in the middle of the fire, I'm sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when we get to heaven, like this one conversation I cannot wait to have is going, what was that like? Like to have Jesus walking around with you to be in the fire. What were you thinking? And if we go back and talk to them, I think they could look back and go, you know what? We were in the fire, but we got to walk with Jesus. I mean, he came down and he walked with us and we were faithful to him and we got to experience him in an incredible way that even in some of those trials and worry, we can look back and say, God, this is what I'm thankful for right now. And Paul continues to show us how to continue to be thankful as we grow and look at this, because he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, I want you to take that worry and give it to Jesus. Speak it out to him. Say, God, this is exactly what I'm going through. This is the struggle that I'm going with. This is the hurt that I'm experiencing. And God, I give that to you and I thank you for what you've done in my life. And then I love this because our thoughts are so powerful. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's saying our thoughts change. If you ever heard of Dr. Caroline Leaf, she does all this brain. She's a Christian neuroscientist. And she talks about how our thoughts become actual matter inside of our brain. And when we think those thoughts, and she's actually using scripture, and she's saying, look, God was right. He created us. And he's saying, look, when we think those thoughts and thankfulness and gratefulness builds new matter inside of our minds and inside of our heart. And God says, hey, I love this because he says, hey, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, he's like, you always have something to be thankful for. Not even in what God has done, but in who he is. These are characteristics of who God is. And even if we feel like God has been silent in our lives for a while, we can always step back and go, God, you are true. You are the one constant in my life. You have never changed. You are always faithful. God, you are always with me. You are always near. And we can call out thankfulness for who he is because he will always be who he is. He will always be true. He will always be honorable. He will always be excellent. He will always be there. And he's saying, my promise is to walk with you in that. We can always go, God, I got this worry right now that I don't know if we're going to make it this week, but I know you are faithful. I know that you are true. God, I don't know what decision to make right now, but you're my counselor. You're my redeemer. You're my shepherd. I'm going to follow your voice, God, because that's who you are. That is, it doesn't matter what happens. And I love this. And this is one of the things, if you're taking notes, that this can be applied anywhere, anytime, and by anybody. That this right here is not determined by our circumstance or the trial or the situation. The Apostle Paul goes, hey, this transcends all of that. This is so powerful. This is so life-changing that when we make a request to God and we call out the thankfulness of who he is, he's saying, I then take that burden and I exchange it. I take it off your shoulders and I say, here's my peace. Here's my rest. Here's my grace. Here's my love. He's saying my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what he's talking about. Because you weren't meant to carry the weight of the world. He's saying, I can carry that. And he's saying, now I will give you my peace. I will give you my rest. But Paul says, hey, it happens when we practice this. And God is saying, hey, I'm giving this to you to show you how to experience the peace in my life. And then he goes on and continues to say, and I'm going to get ready to close, I promise. But he says that the peace of God will be your protection. It will guard your heart and guard your mind. That God's peace is our protection. That when we know that when our mind doesn't have to race, our heart doesn't have to feel heavy and burdened, we can give that to God, and we now have a guard guarding our minds, guarding our heart. And the Philippian church would have understood this illustration in an incredible way because it was a Roman soldier like stronghold, a point where they would all come, and they would have different checkpoints where guards would be standing and protecting their posts. And so they would walk down the street and they would see these guards protecting this post. And the Apostle Paul goes, you see those guys standing there? They're guarding that post. The peace of God is your guard. It stands guard there for you that whenever the enemy tries to attack your will, your mind starts to race and you carry this weight and worry and burden, he is saying, hey, the peace of God will step in and go, nope, that's not it. My God is faithful. No, that's not it. My God will be there for me. Nope, that's it. God's going to walk with me in this. No, God is my counselor. He will direct me. He will guide me. And the peace of God protects our heart. Protects our mind. The Apostle Paul puts these together, not to only think about just our mind and our heart, but he's saying our whole inner being. He's saying because when we live for God and he begins to give us the peace of God inside of us, then it begins to flow out of us into those around us, and it becomes to change the way that we live. And I'm going to skip down a little bit just for time's sake. And I'm going to read this here in verse 10. It says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to be abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then it shifts a little bit. And this is probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, hey, I love this because he gives us that in the realm and the context of being content. He is saying, hey, I'm going to give you strength to be content. I'm going to give you strength for my peace. I'm going to give you strength to push through to know that you are with me. And I love this verse. I mean, I wouldn't be a good preacher if I didn't sit on Philippians 4:13 for a minute, right? Like, because that verse will preach. But to know that God will give us strength in those moments. And not just even saying, hey, I got this physical strength. But he's saying, no, I'm giving you this spiritual strength. That when you look and go, oh, God, I wish I had this. God, I need this. God, I want this. I want this. God is saying, hey, I'm going to give you strength to refocus. I'm going to give you strength to be content, to have peace in this moment, to where you don't feel the tug and the pull, to continue to move forward, but to go, okay, God, what is your will? What is your plan in this? And I'm going to give you strength that even in the fire, that you and I, we're going to have the strength to pull through. We're going to have the strength to continue to make it through because it's not our strength, but it's Christ's strength that is in us. And we can always go back and even be thankful in that moment going, God, it is yours. I may be weak, God, but you are strong. And that God, I know you're going to be with me in this. And I know you're going to help me in this. And right in that moment, you're going to swoop in and help me through these moments to help me through this trial. And I believe God is saying, I'm giving you strength to walk through this in this moment. And I will give it to you as you continue to use this of, God, here's my burden. Here's what's going on in my life. And I am thankful that you are strong. God, I know that I am weak, but I know that you are there with me. And I'm going to close here with this verse. I'm going to skip down to verses 19 and 20. Because the Apostle Paul ends here and he says, hey, and my God,
will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I believe you. We can keep plaster those on your wall, like on your mirror. You're brushing your teeth. We get reminded of this because God is saying, Paul is saying, this is the peace that we can look forward to. This is the provision. This is the forward thinking that God is saying, hey, you can have peace because and my God will supply what? Every need of yours according to His riches, not to Daniel's riches, thank goodness, right? To His riches. He's saying, hey, I have unlimited in this moment. He's not saying, hey, I'm going to rain down and you're going to be rich. You're going to have all this money, all these cars. But He's saying, I'm going to supply every need that you have. You don't have to worry. I'm going to walk with you in this. And if you trust me, if you look back even in Matthew chapter 6, He's saying the birds in the air, they don't worry about their clothes. They don't worry about their food. They don't worry about what they need because I supply that for them. And He's saying, just like them, I don't want you to worry. I want you to have ultimate peace and contentment in who I am in your life every single day because He is faithful to supply every need and He is the same forever and ever. Imagine passing a legacy down to our kids of going, hey, you can have peace and contentment in Christ in this. He's saying it lasts forever. We don't ever have to sway or think, what is God going to do? Is He going to show up? But to know that He is going to be there in us to help us through this moment. But it takes that practice of us of going, God, here's my burden. God, thank you for being with me. And I just love, you ever find like somebody you're like, okay, they're following Christ way closer than I am, or they're almost like that kind of crazy realm where they're thanking God for something that hadn't even happened yet. They're like, God, thank you for already providing. And thank you, you're already in the midst of this. God, thank you for already being there with me. God, thank you for the peace you already given me. I love that mentality because it's like, I believe God so much. If He doesn't show up, I'm going to look crazy. I'm going to look like He's not going to be there. But God is saying, hey, trust me every single step of the way. And you may be in the middle of the fire and not knowing where He is. But He is saying, hey, I am with you in it. It is my promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you look back on this, you will understand how faith makes sense in reverse. And He's saying, hey, I will walk through that and I'll redeem that situation. I will help you through that. And even in that, you can have peace because you talk about a witnessing tool. You standing in the fire going, God's going to show up. God's going to be here. And people are like, you're in the fire. Like this, that's not how you have peace during this. You're like, you don't know my God. Let me tell you who He is. And He ain't even done anything yet, but you're able to point to who He is in this moment. And you have peace that surpasses all understanding. And God is saying, rest in that. And so as I close today, I just want to recap four things that Paul says, hey, if you do this, you receive God's peace. To remember that God is near, that He takes our burdens. We give our burdens to Him. And then He grants us peace that is our protection. When we do that, and we remember that He provides for our needs. He's saying, you are my child. I am there with you in this. And my prayer, my hope is that maybe there's something in our life that's causing us so much worry, so much stress. And I just want to ask you today, say, hey, let's give that to God today. Maybe even during this song, you want to cry out to God and just say, God, you may even want to say it out loud and say, God, I want to give you this today. I need peace in this situation. I don't know how you're going to work it. I don't know how you're going to work. And you may even say, God, I don't know what it is, but I just need to feel your presence in this situation I'm in. Or maybe you want to come down. I want to be down here. If you want some prayer for that as well, I'd love to pray with you. Let's pray. Let's walk in this thing together. We're called to this community together. Now let's pray. Let's ask God for His peace because I believe He is faithful and just to give it to us. Let's pray together. God, we love you and praise you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for how you work inside of our lives each and every day. Thank you for your peace, God. Thank you for being true. Thank you for being holy. Thank you for being mighty, God. You are our creator. And we come to you with our burdens, God, with our worry, our fear, our doubt. God, and you don't
chastise us for that. You just take it from us. God, I pray that we can get real with you this morning and say, this is what's really on my heart. This is what's really causing this in my life. God, I need your help in it. I need your direction. I need your wisdom. God, and I just pray that you shower them with your presence. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and I pray that you move our fears cast out by your perfect love. And I pray that that fills every heart that is hearing me today. We love you and praise you and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.